Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dawn-o-mite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Am I feeling blue? Twitter blue? No, I haven't. But I got to be honest with all of you. I'm kind of like annoyed at the launch of this blue checkmark verification thing today. And I'll tell you why. You know, I already am seeing the result of what is happening. I talked to a few friends of mine tonight. We were talking about just social media in general and almost having to verify people now with some type of identification or credit cards or something. Especially, it may have to call someone out in the future if they go a little bit overboard with their behavior. Because you know how some people are. They just want to have straight up troll accounts and that's it. Well, one thing that has happened tonight with a lot of people who I am friends with that have now subscribed to Twitter Blue and have this blue check mark, the verification, what they have done in a majority. And there's a reason why I'm telling everybody about this, because you should be made aware of this. What a lot of them have done is the minute that they got that verification, they changed their settings in the system to only receive notifications from others who are also verified. And I understand that is designed so all the trolls, all the haters, all the random people that just post stuff, now it gets filtered even more. But as a result, because I did not subscribe to it, and quite a few of you out there have not subscribed to it, our comments, our posts, our jokes, anything that we put is no longer visible by those people unless they keep the setting where they still see things from everyone. You know, it's a little ridiculous. And personally, I have not tried to get verified in over 5 years. I almost feel like it's probably better if I don't. But if I'm going to get that blue check mark, I want to do it because I've earned it, you know, not have purchased it. And, you know, but again, it filters out trolls, and I think that's probably the best thing out of all of it. And yes, there's always going to be people out there, you know, who are going to beat the system. You know, watching people today, oh, they shouldn't do this verified thing because we already have trolls with verified accounts. Well, what is that like saying? Nobody should get a driver's license because there's fake people out there getting fake licenses or, come on, you know, there's always going to be that group of people. You know, if you're going to have people troll, you might as well make some money off of it, right? I mean, my God, let's be honest, everyone. We could segue right into wrestling. And why not? Let's open up talking about Sasha Banks. Props to each and every one of you out there in podcast land, newsletters, Patreons, everyone out there that clickbaited y'all for the last 24 hours, claiming that Sasha Banks teased an appearance on AEW Dynamite tonight. It showed up in my feed. It showed up in my recommendations. People I've never heard of before, Sasha Banks teases AEW Dynamite appearance. Sasha Banks teases. And I was curious. I'm like, okay, what did Sasha do? Did she take a picture of herself in front of the building? You know, what did she do to specifically tease AEW Dynamite? And you know what the answer was? She didn't do anything. Here's a little rumor killer. I mean, obviously, if you saw Dynamite tonight, the rumor is already killed. She was not on it. The fact is, Sasha Banks was in Boston today. Yes, she was. And that's where AEW Dynamite was held. But the fact is, Sasha Banks is going to be filming a movie tomorrow in Boston. Some type of action flick. I did not get all the details. This was just some stuff that was posted online. But, you know, if you're going to bitch about trolls and people getting this blue check mark, how's about addressing the people out there that instead of, look, I got the answer about Sasha Banks in Boston today in about 10 minutes of time doing research. How come all these people, instead of saying, look, let me find out if Sasha Banks is maybe doing something else in Boston today. No, they'll just run on their podcasts, newsletters, Patreons, and say Sasha Banks teases AEW appearance. No, that's a lie. So you all keep falling for it. I give a shout out to everybody who made some money off of you today. So good for Sasha. Yeah, absolutely. Sasha Banks, you know, she's living a dream right now. She is checking off a lot of points on her bucket list. So when she goes back to WWE, she doesn't feel trapped. She doesn't feel, you know, locked out. You know, she is being able to eat her cake, you know, make her cake and eat it too. Is that how it goes? She's having a good time. She's going to be back in WWE soon. But let's also talk about something else that happened today. And look, if you tune into this show on a regular basis, it was, I think, six weeks ago that we talked about that Saraya, the former Paige, was cleared to return. And AEW was going to milk this, tease this, get as much mileage out of it leading into Full Gear. The only question was, were they going to flat out say on TV that she's 100% cleared to return, or could they tease that maybe she's not ready yet and it's an unsanctioned match? That was really the only question. Well, today they made it official. We had an in-ring segment during Dynamite between Britt Baker and Saraya. And as I have said for years and years and years on these shows, the best promos that you ever hear in wrestling are the ones that are based majority on reality. When you could heavily base your promo on real life experiences, that's when you get passionate. That's when you get deep. That's when what you say really comes across on TV. And when Paige, I don't know if you all noticed this tonight, and I hope AEW took notice of it, and I hope Paige took notice of it as well. Paige is obviously more of a fan favorite in the fans of AEW than Britt Baker, but AEW fans respect Britt Baker because she has worked her fucking ass to get where she is right now. Britt Baker has not been in pro wrestling for 17 years. Britt Baker has not dealt publicly with a drug addiction. Britt Baker has not been publicly humiliated, you know, on social media for years. She did not go through a lot of the pain physically and mentally that Saraya has. So what you noticed tonight was that every time Saraya talked about herself and what she has gone through to get to this point, the crowd loved it. They cheered. They appreciated it. Love online. Respect. Respect. Full, through and through. But the minute Saraya started taking digs at Britt Baker, she got booed. Every time she got booed. And it's almost like, if you want to use it compared to like podcasting, it's what the lesson that I have learned. It took many years for me to get it through my head. But, you know, you want to talk about how good you are, not how bad your competitor is. You know, especially if that competitor has also worked hard, maybe doesn't have as much mileage as you, but if they work hard and the fans or their viewers, listeners realize that, you know, that is a very slippery slope to go. But Saraya today, talking, spitting facts, talking very raw, very real. And listen, this was a mental release for Saraya today. Being able to say those words, I am cleared. Guys, gals, I went to the doctor, had tests done, had CT, this, neck, this, and I got some bad news for Britt Baker. I am cleared. And you could see her almost crying. That is human emotion. That is all those years of being told you will never wrestle ever again. You know, being told that you will never be able to do what you loved probably more than anything outside of family. You know, so this was very, very powerful today, and it came across on TV. And at Full Gear, they will be facing each other. And if you realize it, we talked about this last week. We are going to have at least three women's matches at Full Gear, possibly four. You might even get lucky and it gets to five. Right now we have three, but four is not out of the question. So, look, it doesn't really mean much in the overall scope of things. Jay Cargill did an interview, I think this past weekend, and she said something that has not gotten much attraction. And I definitely want to share it with all of you. She was on a podcast called The 10 Count, and I watched it. She came across great. You know, she is likable. You know, you get her in a comfort zone, and she could get a little real. She is a fun watch with an interview. But she made a remark that I personally think is maybe one of the biggest problems with women's wrestling in AEW. And no, it's not the lack of TV time, which is pretty much obvious. But one of the biggest problems with that roster is the Dave Meltzer effect. And listen, do not misconstrue my words. I am a fan of Dave Meltzer. I subscribe to his newsletter. I'm one of the very few people out there that support Dave Meltzer and Vince Russo. I'm one of the very few people that now supports Jim Cornette and, you know, the opposite sides. But I think the biggest mistake is this. When asked about an all-women's AEW pay-per-view, or even having one match on a show. But let's focus on the pay-per-view, because this is going to segue to Nick Aldis and him quitting NWA, because that is a very big deal going on as well. Bigger than I think people realize, because this downfall of NWA has been happening for a little while right now, and it's really starting to come to roost. And it's not a very good deal for Billy Corgan. I admire him. I love, you know, his passion for wrestling and him trying to make it succeed. But when we get through to that, you could see that this guy, I think he's losing it. I really think he's losing it. Seriously, stick to music. That's almost how I feel right now. Maybe I'll feel different once we get through some of what he said in response to Nick Aldis a couple of days ago. But let's get back to Meltzer. And because, look, I'm not shitting on Dave Meltzer, but I'm going to prove a point here. Just an opinion. Remember, I think people forget these are opinion shows. You know, big difference between, I mean, we do report news once in a while. We do break stories. I mean, I actually, somebody rubbed it in my face earlier, so I decided, hey, I'll rub it back in your face. It was back on October 15th. The infamous episode where I said it was going to be Uncle Howdy versus Uncle Harper, both characters on Bray Wyatt's shoulders, basically in his inner demons, telling him which way to go. It was also that episode that I said AEW is considering Wardlow versus Samoa Joe and Swerve Strickland versus Keith Lee. Mind you, if you go back to October 15th, there was no storyline on TV teasing any dissension whatsoever. So I see tonight that pretty much is starting to develop, because Samoa Joe did turn on Wardlow today. Oh, you can see it now. Three-way, possibly a full gear. Hobbs, Joe, Wardlow. I'm buying. So anyway, when talking about an all-women's event, Jay Cargill says, and I quote, "That would be great if we could. I know for a fact that the women in the locker room, all of them could give five-star matches. We just need the time to do it and the time to shine." All right. We could get past the every woman on the roster could put a five-star match. I don't have an issue with that. She's sticking up for the women's roster. That's fine. My problem with what Jay Cargill said is the five-star match remark in itself. I do not watch wrestling to see five-star matches. If I get a five-star match, yeah, that's icing on the cake. I watch wrestling to be entertained. I'm sure that there's some people out there that will stand there and only want to watch five-star matches. But here's the thing. Who actually grades a match based on a star system? You're talking about a journalist, Dave Meltzer, for the most part. How do you determine what is a five-star match? In my honest opinion, if that's the mindset of Jay Cargill, and if that's the mindset of a lot of women on the AEW roster, that if given the time, they could put out a five-star match, well, guess what? There's been some five-star matches where the fans appreciated the workload and the work rate, but were not emotionally invested in it. I bring this up all the time. Look at Sami Zayn. Look at what's going on in WWE right now. That motherfucker doesn't even need to do a three-star match, and the crowd is eating up every minute of what he does. I personally think Jade Cargill, that women's division, should be more concerned about getting those fans off their asses, getting them to get animated, loud chant. You know, for me, I know it's watered down in 2022, but hearing the crowd lively, this is awesome, getting invested, reacting to simple moves, that is the five-star. Not what a reporter rates your match, not what a movie critic rates your movie. You know, how many times have we heard about movies winning awards and they do shit at the box office? Do you turn around and say, you know what, I'm going to watch that independent film because they said it was 5 stars. It was 5 stars, even though it made guts at the box office. No, you're going to watch it because maybe some people that you know, oh, man, I saw that movie. It's fucking awesome. You got to check it out. Does it have to be thumbs up across the board, 10 out of 10? No. As long as you are entertained to the fullest, you do not have to break your body to get a five. How many five-star matches are based on emotion? How many five-star matches are based on emotion, telling a story without spectacular, unbelievable, everything? This is not gymnastics. This is not ice skating. This is not where you go off the, you know, the, and you do all these things and you have judges putting up signs out of 10. You know, no, this is about getting everybody off their fucking ass, getting them loud, getting them interactive, and that's what matters. You could have Hall of Fame wrestlers that have never wrestled a five-star match in their lifetime, but still are some of the most popular, beloved, I paid to see so-and-so. That's what is what should be the mindset of Jade Cargill and others. Five-star matches based on an individual's perception of what the match should be, think that mindset is totally, totally wrong. So let me know what you think. Also, let me know what you think about this tonight. Let me know what you think about this tonight. Something happened with the opening match, which was FTR and the Acclaimed beating the Gun Club and Swerve No Glory. I'm very curious to see which side you're on with this. Because I actually thought this was funny. If you're an AEW hater, I know what side you're on. If you're an AEW supporter, I think I know what side you're on. But we saw a move tonight that it was pretty wild to see the reaction on social media. I originally posted this on social media, and then I deleted it because then I realized about 75% of everybody who follows me now are all verified, and a majority of them now change their settings that they can't even see my shit. So I'm never, ever going to do a show just to hear me talk. I'm never, ever going to post something just to let me see it. You know, if majority don't want to see it, then it's not even worth me doing. But we had a moment where Keith Lee, I have the video, I'll show it to you in a second. We had Keith Lee set up a powerbomb. He was going to powerbomb Anthony Bowens onto the mat. Max Caster is in the ring, and Max Caster, right in the center camera, sets himself up in front of Keith Lee, and Keith Lee proceeds to powerbomb Anthony Bowens onto Max Caster's back while standing. So when I show you the clip, I ask you this. Are you on the side where Max Caster looked horrendous, Bush League, amateurish, setting himself up as clear as you could see? Or are you on the side that, hey, Max Caster actually did great. He just sacrificed his body so Anthony Bowens wouldn't be planted in the mat. Here is the move. It's 5 seconds, so watch it closely. There you see it. Okay, watch Max Caster closely. Watch right there. Watch right. Yeah, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. Let's show one more time. Watch Max Caster closely. Just watch him closely. Look, he's setting him up. Look, he's wait. Look, yeah. All right. Now I'm ready. Now you could powerbomb me on my back. So I ask you, did Max Caster fuck up there? And it's too obvious on the hard camera, or was Max Caster saving his partner? Very curious to see which side you're on. Let me make this point right off the bat. Neither answer is wrong. Neither answer is right. So whichever side you take, you do not have to worry about me saying, yes, I agree with you. If you're going to ask me which side I take, I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth for today. By the way, tonight's episode is brought to you by Manscaped. No long intros or plugs about balls and, you know, grooming. Just go to manscaped.com. Enter the promo code DONTONY. Get 20% off your order and free shipping. Lots of great shit over there. I'm telling you, perfect gifts to give loved ones if you don't want it for yourself. If you're a little bit too embarrassed about getting, you know, personal genitalia hygiene for your dad or your grandfather or, you know, maybe a friend or a neighbor, the last thing you want to do is give it to your neighbor and then the next day, Johnny, I really want to thank you for that gift. It really worked great last night. I loved every minute of it. Oh, that ball cropper. Oh, God, that was spectacular. All right. I just realized I probably just dug myself on a hole. Hey, Johnny, how you doing? Hey, Johnny, thank you for the gift. I fucking rubbed it all over my balls yesterday, and it felt amazing. I can't thank you enough. Spectacular. Unbelievable. I can't believe you thought about me like that. Yeah, I just realized. I'm like, I don't want anybody to interpret this the wrong way. But look, you get deodorant. Get deodorant. Get shampoo. Get body spray. You know, what'd you get me body spray for? You think I stink? I know. Did you see the joke? Did you see the shot that Jeff Jarrett took tonight with Braun Strowman and Triple H on AEW Dynamite? Jeff Jarrett, nice little insult tonight. By the way, again, welcome aboard to everyone who is here live on the replay. As we started doing about a month ago, you know, we don't do full-blown NXT and AEW recaps anymore. There's 10,000 podcasts that do that. We'll just get into the highlights, the overview of what went down, a couple of comments here and there, and then we talk about news for the most part. So, but I have to talk about the Braun Strowman thing today. I'm very surprised how many people tonight took the side of Braun Strowman. I think people have very, 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 very short-term memory. Braun Strowman dug his own hole. And I'm a big supporter of Braun Strowman. Tune into the show every week, every other week. I'm always supporting Braun Strowman. I don't agree with his hunting skills, but I like Braun Strowman, but he did this to himself this time around. Basically, tonight on Dynamite, after Jay Lethal beat Trent Barretta, they're on the rampway, and we have Sonjay Dutt gets on the mic, and he brings out Jeff Jarrett. And Jeff Jarrett is basically like, why is the last outlaw here, and blah, 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 blah. And he did it because Sonjay and Jay Lethal called him and asked him to come. Now, as we said last week, a lot of you out there thought the same thing. So this is not, oh, DT, good call there. No, a lot of you, good call as well. At Full Gear, it's going to be Sting and Darby Allin versus Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett. You saw that coming last week. It was so easy to predict, and they made it official today. But when Jeff Jarrett came out, he gave props to Jay Lethal, signed him to his first ever contract, gives props to Sonjay. Then he starts giving props to Satnam Singh. And he tells the cameraman to zoom in on Satnam's feet. Zoometh on those feet, those big feet, and pan up slowly. So as the camera guy is panning up slowly to emphasize Satnam Singh's size, Jeff Jarrett says, "This ain't no make-believe monster dressed in red skinny jeans made by banana or manufactured by Banana Nose Circus, the circus." Now, at first, I think people thought, okay, you know, not a big deal. And then they started thinking, wait a minute. I mean, we know Batista wore skinny jeans, and that was probably an epic fail on his part years ago. But what giant in wrestling wears red skinny jeans that is manufactured by the Banana Nose Circus. And then I started thinking, and then everybody caught on right away, and this was the tweet I posted online earlier. Yeah, if you look at the emojis, that stands for Monster Red Skinny Jeans Nose Banana. Oh, Banana Nose and Circus. Yeah, Braun Strowman. He tweeted, deleted, retreated. That's what he did this week. He made fun of the Flippy Flippies. He made fun of a whole class of wrestlers, pissed off a lot of people. Then he deleted all. Oh, guys, I'm just joking. You know, everybody that's in the locker rooms that go come up the right way, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the lazy people that, you know, yeah, he tweeted, deleted, and retreated. Let's be honest. As much as I like Braun Strowman fucked up this past week. You just come back to WWE legitimately crying in the back after you made your return that night. You know, yes, you had a great match with Omos. You don't have to rub it in. You will never beat the trolls. You know how you beat the trolls? You do a good job, and you don't say anything to get yourself in trouble. That's how you beat the trolls. You do an amazing job. Don't spike the fucking football. He tried to spike the football from Crown Jewel, and the football bounced up, and it hit him in the nose. That's what happened to Braun Strowman. So when people were coming to Braun's defense tonight, I'm like, do you forget what Braun just said a couple of days ago? Braun deserved that. And if I was Braun Strowman, I mean, I know he's not watching this, but if I was Braun Strowman, don't even respond. Don't even retaliate. You know, he wants to make fun of your skinny jeans. That's fine. That's fine. You got Raquel Rodriguez. You know what I mean? You got, you're doing great. You're getting paid well. You're on in front of millions. Don't even acknowledge it. Let it go. Unfortunately, I get this weird feeling Braun's probably going to make a little indirect remark. Now, I do agree with people that were a little ticked at Jeff Jarrett taking a shot at Triple H because, look, yes, Vince McMahon is no longer in charge and Braun Strowman is back, not because of Vince McMahon. So when Jeff Jarrett said the Banana Nose Circus, you know, now he's taking a shot at Triple H. And I thought that that was probably uncalled for because we have not seen Triple H taking shots at anybody. In fact, I don't see any subliminal jokes, even when Jeff Jarrett ended up leaving WWE recently, didn't work out. Maybe Jeff Jarrett's a little bitter as far as how he left WWE. I don't know. But I think the Triple H remark probably wasn't needed. So, by the way, I saw this come in right before we went live. Who sent this? Just Joe with the five spot. Just curious. I notice every time you write something now, you use the word just before it. So anybody remember Just Joe in WWE? Have you ever owned any merchandise from Braun Strowman or Double J, Jeff Jarrett? I have never owned a shirt by either one of those guys. I have a bunch of autographed cards signed by Braun Strowman. I don't think I have anything autographed by Jeff Jarrett. I do remember selling a piece of a guitar on Patreon probably 3 or 4 years ago. But other than that, no, never owned any merch from either one. And Martin Hajduk with the 20 spot. Much love, my friend. Thank you for all you do. I appreciate that more than you know. I mean, it's been tremendous here. Everybody, you know, that maybe fell out of love with Yours Truly over the years, or maybe just found out about Yours Truly after all these years, you know, especially through a conversation I had with JD last week. I welcome you, and I hope to give a little bit of a different twist on things, you know, my own style, but I appreciate it. Everybody, as long as you have a good time, that's what matters to me. And I'm always, always listening and watching and viewing your feedback because it does dictate how we tweak these shows as we go along. So never be content, but I thank you for that. That was very, very kind of you. Thank you for that. So moving right along, let's quickly recap AEW tonight. The main event tonight was Bryan Danielson defeating Sammy Guevara. Sammy Guevara, tremendously hated by the fans. It gives me old ECW vibes with the Dudleys. I mean, look, of course, Sammy Guevara doesn't do anything remotely to the Dudleys, but just that deep heat, that hatred. Fuck you, Sammy. Sammy could put on a five-star move in some people's heads. You still suck. You still suck. You still suck. That is legit heat. That is not go-away heat. Sammy Guevara could be, you could put the fucking world title on Sammy Guevara. And I guarantee you, you probably would have almost like NWO moments with people throwing garbage in the ring. I mean, can you imagine if Sammy Guevara walks out of Full Gear with the Ring of Honor Championship, even though the Ring of Honor titles really aren't much of anything right now other than trinkets, you know, props on TV. Still, just the idea that Sammy Guevara ends up with gold, that would piss off a lot of people, man. Sammy doesn't have X-Pac heat. X-Pac heat, most people back then would think that that was go-away heat. Sammy Guevara does not have go-away heat. I'll tell you one. I would almost compare it to Eddie Guerrero. Because when Eddie first came into WWE with the Radicals, unfortunately injured his elbow almost immediately. So, you know, it really didn't kick. But there was a point that Eddie would get, Eddie sucks, Eddie sucks, you still suck, Eddie sucks. The fans hated Eddie Guerrero. I know, as ridiculous as that sounds to younger fans out there, the fans hated that guy. And slowly, slowly, it turned around. He became one of the most beloved men in the history of pro wrestling. I don't ever see that happening with Sammy, but the point is, you know, X-Pac at the time, that's why they coined it X-Pac heat, because a lot of people at the time when X-Pac was on TV, and I don't think this was fair to X-Pac. I never felt X-Pac had go-away heat. But what go-away heat is that when someone is on TV, you don't like them at all, to the point that you'll go to the concession stand, you'll go walk the dog, you'll go make something to eat, take a dump, get stuff ready for work tomorrow, check emails, check messages, do everything but watch the person perform on TV or live in the crowd. That's go-away heat. Sammy Guevara does not have go-away heat. Sammy Guevara has, we want to fucking yell to your face. We don't want you to go away because we want to curse your ass out and we want you to hear it. We want to rip your wife. We want to rip you. You could give us amazing moves. You still suck, Sammy. We know that you're Tony Khan's baby boy. You know, we know the whole deal. You know, you're protected. You know, look at the shit with Andrade. You're always fucking with people. One week you say, I got to be, you know, let's be better than that. You're not going to focus on the hate. And then the next week, fuck you to the haters out there. Everybody sees it. None of us are stupid. I'm a fan of Sammy Guevara. He had a great match with Bryan Danielson tonight. It started off stupid, though. We never see DQs in AEW, but it's 2 out of 3 falls. And right near the beginning of the first fall of the match, Sammy Guevara gets disqualified. He throws a chair at Bryan Danielson outside the ring. Now, I don't have problems with disqualifications. I wouldn't even have a problem with it if they happened in AEW. The problem I had with it was what transpired right after it. He throws the chair at Bryan Danielson. The referee says, that's it. That's it. You're disqualified. The winner of the first fall, Bryan Danielson. What happens right after? Sammy Guevara brings Bryan Danielson, who they are outside the ring, mind you. He brings him to the timekeeper's table and grabs a microphone and is wailing Bryan Danielson in the face with the microphone. He's digging it in his head. He's yelling, screaming, and the referee, who just disqualified Sammy Guevara 30 seconds earlier, he's watching Sammy do all this with weapons, I might add, and instead of saying, look, I'm going to disqualify you again if you don't stop this shit now. No, he's standing there and he's going, come on! Come on, Sammy! Bring it back in the ring! Come on! I mean, the referees, you got to have half a fucking brain as well. We know we don't ever see disqualifications in AEW. That's the referee's fault right there. Sammy is using weapons right after he just got disqualified. Instead of the referee, because you could hear it. There's a microphone right there. Duh. You can hear the referee, and instead of saying, Sammy, I'm going to disqualify you again, and the match is going to be over. Get in the ring. Stop it now. No, he just, come on! You know, who does that? Wait, what WWE wrestler does that? Come on! But it's right on the tip of my head, tip of my tongue. Come on, somebody bail me out. Somebody bail me out. Who does that? Shinsuke. Thank you. Xander Elion, props to you. Shinsuke. That's what it, the referee looked like a dope there. And then you go to commercial break on top of it. But Sammy Guevara gets the second fall because you knew it was going to go to the third fall. And he hits the GTS on Brian Danielson. And let's be honest, the first two falls were very fast. Probably within 6 minutes of TV time, there was two falls already. But the third fall was excellent. You do two out of three falls because it makes the match feel a little bit more special. But as a result, you get two falls that were probably like, less to be desired. But the finish of that match, the flurry, where Sammy Guevara hit the DDT, climbed the top rope, was going to do the Swanton. And if you watch that Swanton, watch Bryan Danielson. Bryan Danielson, almost like what Max Caster did earlier, is laid out on the mat, and he starts rolling himself over and putting himself perfectly positioned in the corner. And I'm watching that in a hard camera. I'm like, oh, my God, if Sammy fucking hits this, this is going to look awful to Bryan Danielson because right on the center camera, and that's production's fault too. You know, if you if production spots that Bryan Danielson is putting himself in place or Max Caster or someone else, get a different camera angle. You know, put the close-up on Sammy's face for a second. But on the TV, you see Bryan Danielson rolling himself in position, but Bryan Danielson put the knees up. So now all is forgiven. Like, oh, okay, he did that on purpose, storyline, to get the knees up so Sammy would get hit. And then Bryan Danielson puts a lapel lock on, elbows Sammy in the face a few times. And even the end, it's the little things that stand out to me. Sammy Guevara is trying to grab the rope, and Bryan Danielson has the lapel lock on. And little by little, Sammy's getting closer to the rope, closer to the rope. Now, with Jericho, when Jericho puts the Walls of Jericho on someone, or the Lion Tamer, he will pull the wrestler back in the middle of the ring. You always get that pop from the fans when he does that. Here, what Bryan Danielson did is instead of pulling Sammy Guevara back into the middle of the ring, he goes and he takes his arm, and I can't show you here. You got to see it on the video. But if this is Sammy Guevara's arm, see, I can't do it. You'll break your arm if you try to do it to yourself because, unfortunately, my arms could only go really one way. But if this is Sammy's arm, Bryan Danielson takes the arm and pulls it backwards. So it's now behind, you know, Bryan Danielson's head, and then he locks the lapel lock on as well. And he's got the nose. And that's probably the only thing I wish Taz especially would have done, you know, because instead of saying, well, he can't breathe if he's got the nose, how's about like, you know, oh, my God, push in your nose and see how that feels. Your eyes water. You can't tell you. That fucking nose hurts. Bryan Danielson's got the lapel lock locked right on the nose. I thought that was awesome, man. The finish was great. Definitely in loved the way the match ended up, and I'm glad that it did because the first two falls were a little bit less to be desired. So, all right, other things that went down tonight on AEW. As I said earlier, we had Swervin' on Glory and the Gun Club. They lost to FTR and the Acclaimed. We had a mic drop on Colton Gunn, Anthony Bowens with the pin. After the match is over, you have all the champs in the ring posing with their belts. No tease of dissension with FTR and the Acclaimed. That'll happen after Full Gear. We get a clip of MJF doing an interview, which I believe was busted open. I'm not sure. But, you know, it's basically a lot of stuff we already heard. You know, he does name drop a lot of Hall of Famers from wrestling. He calls himself a generational talent like Hogan, Austin, Cena, The Rock, mentions a few others. He doesn't like Moxley, calls him a piece of shit. He says he was born with two left feet, but he respects John Moxley for busting his ass to get where he is. But he also feels that MJF himself, he was born to be the guy. He needs to beat Moxley to cement himself as the next generational talent. He's sick of waiting for his turn, And at Full Gear, the devil gets his due. So Moxley later on would have cut a promo with William Regal in the ring. He talks about a little bit of the history with him and William Regal going back almost two decades. Then Moxley talks about MJF a little bit. You know, makes fun of his fake diamond ring, says that he wears clothes that his mommy bought at JCPenney. And he says MJF calls himself the devil. Moxley's like, you're not the devil. I've come across the devil. Now, Moxley didn't get too deep into his personal demons and stuff like that, but you knew where it was going. And Moxley basically, you know, says at Full Gear, and he even gave props to MJF. He wants MJF to be the future. He wants MJF to be the focus of AEW. But right now, it's Moxley's time. So, good segment. No interaction between the two. And look, MJF was not there live in the building. So, damn, I'm very pissed off. I wanted to show it with all of you. I forgot to get the clip to play it for you. We got this really odd promo from Stokely Hathaway. And it's mocking MJF, basically talking about how he thought that MJF and him wanted the same thing and this and that. But then Stokely, and this made TV, Stokely says in his promo that MJF is dick riding. And the biggest crime you could make is dick riding without a license. It was funny. It was, you know, like caught people off guard. It caught me off guard. And it passed through the censors. But, you know, it just felt really random. I mean, where's this going with Stokely? Are they going to show up at Full Gear? I mean, we're only, what, 2 weeks away from Full Gear? Not even? So, yeah, the Stokely promo was very odd. I liked it, but it was really odd. And go seek it out if you didn't see it. So I'm sorry I don't have it here today. Ethan Page advances in the tournament for the tournament cup. And by the way, I should show you the brackets. The World Title Eliminator Tournament, the winner will get a future AEW World Championship title shot. The brackets are as follows. Eddie Kingston versus Ethan Page. That went down tonight. Ethan Page did get the win with the Super Ego's Edge off the top rope. Very impressive. I think people are still frustrated. Eddie Kingston, you know, is he ever going to get to the promised land? Maybe not win a title, but win a tournament or something. So Ethan Page advances. Now, Friday, we have a loaded Rampage on Friday. Friday, we have three tournament matches. To finish up the left brackets, we have Bandido taking on Roosh. So the winner of that match is going to take on Ethan Page. We'll get back to Roosh in a second. On the opposite side, we have Lance Archer taking on Ricky Starks Friday, and we also have Brian Cage taking on Dante Martin. And I think people are looking at that and saying, okay, could we get Ricky Starks versus Dante Martin after this, or could we get Lance Archer versus Brian Cage? Something tells me it'll probably be Ricky Starks and Dante Martin. On the opposite side, I think Ethan Page could end up going to the finals. I think it might end up being Ethan Page versus Bandido, and then Ethan Page advances to the finals, and it might be Ethan Page versus Ricky Starks or Dante Martin. I almost feel Ricky Starks will get it because we have that noise. JD and I talked about it last Thursday. You know, like, look at how they're wasting time with Ricky Starks and even Hobbs. The only reason why Hobbs is being on TV right now is because there's a pay-per-view coming up. If there was no pay-per-view coming up, Hobbs probably wouldn't even be in this position right now. What happens to Hobbs after Full Gear is done? So it almost feels like, okay, we got to give a bone to Ricky Starks. People are starting to take notice that we aren't doing what we're supposed to. So I laughed because we just had this dumb storyline where if Ten beats Roosh, Roosh leaves the Dark Order alone. Just leave us alone. Now, sure, it turned into a three-way with Orange Cassidy and neither Roosh nor Ten won. But we're getting this feud that won't die. It won't die. We saw the Dark Order with Jose the Assistant and Roosh again today. And Jose is like, hey, you know, we impressed with you, Ten. And if Roosh wins it all, Ten, you will get the first shot at the title. And Rush says, I don't give second opportunities, pero. And somebody in the Dark Order called Rush a Rushbag. Get it? Douchebag, Rushbag. But I'm like, please let this fucking feud die. Nobody cares about it. Even if 10 becomes a member of that group, nobody cares. I do care that Liam Savage is celebrating 12 months as a channel member here on YouTube today. Happy anniversary, my friend. Shout out to you. Arya Daivari, in a very random segment tonight, is in the ring with his butler. If anybody could bring him the TNT title, he can have his butler. So Wardlow comes out, powerbomb party, match over. Afterwards, Wardlow calls out Hobbs, wants to tell Hobbs to his face, this title will always be his. In fact, he wants every title in AEW. Big mistake, because Samoa Joe's title is part of AEW, even though it's Ring of Honor. So Samoa Joe lays out Wardlow, chokes him out, something that we knew was coming for quite some time. So we will find out soon if it's going to be Wardlow versus Joe versus Hobbs at Full Gear. It's possible. I just hope it's not title for title. I just hope it's not title for title. I don't think that's necessary. I don't think Wardlow should be dropping a title, and I don't even think Samoa Joe should be dropping a title. I would love to see Hobbs with a title, but I don't think I want Hobbs with either one of those. So, Nyla Rose versus Jade Cargill is set for Full Gear. If you look at the graphic, they actually show Jade Cargill as a TBS champion, because she is. They have Nyla Rose in quotations as the TBS champion. So, it is what it is, everyone. I told you earlier about Saraya, Britt Baker, their in-ring segment. I loved it. I loved Britt Baker defending everything about AEW. I liked the little remark that you haven't laid a brick here in AEW. I loved that I helped build this AEW from the ground up to give superstars to want to come here. You know, that's a great line. You know, not mocking women's wrestlers that come from other organizations, but basically saying, like, I've paved the way so good and I laid the groundwork here so well that people want to come here. So Britt Baker, in her promo exchange today, Britt Baker definitely held her own. When Britt Baker was saying what she was saying, the crowd loved it. When Saraya was talking about herself and not taking shots at Britt Baker, they loved that as well. Very, very good segment. And the bottom line is, we are going to get Saraya versus Britt Baker at Full Gear. This is Saraya's comeback story, and it's Britt Baker's biggest match of her career. Both are correct. Britt tries to attack Saraya after her promo exchange. Saraya plants her, almost like with a DDT. We get an absolute fucking mess of a promo. In the back, you got the factory. Satnam Singh, Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, the best friends. What ends up happening is we get a match set for Friday. I think Orange Cassidy's going to defend the All-Atlantic Championship against Lee Moriarty. And then today we had Trent lose to Jay Lethal. What I thought was also stupid was before the match started, Jay Lethal clipped Trent Beretta from behind. So his knee, the whole story of the match was Trent got clipped. So yeah, his leg was, you know, a problem the whole match. Very one-sided, the match. Jay Lethal with most of the offense. But if you watch, you know, when Jay Lethal always hits the lethal injection, you know, that's like the, you know, spring off the rope into an RKO. He threw a move on Trent right before that to cause Trent to go down on the mat. Now, you're selling for the whole match that Trent's leg is fucked up. So what happens? Jay Lethal drops Trent Beretta and immediately goes to the ropes to hit the lethal injection, which means, Trent, rapido, get up, super, 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 super fast. That is not a Jay Lethal impersonation. You watch Trent, he gets knocked down and he bounces up. And I'm like, wait, this whole match was supposed to tell the story that your leg is fucked up. But he had to get up quick to eat the lethal injection. So I thought the finish was kind of stupid. Jack Perry is so angry at Christian and Luchasaurus that he wants to talk to them on Friday. So that will happen on Friday. We get another Elite video. This time, blatantly teasing them wrestling at Full Gear. And it should be, you know, Penta, Rey Fénix, and Pac defending the Trios titles versus the Elite. And I would pretty much bet the ranch right now that the Elite will put those titles right back on themselves. All is good in AEW land. The CM Punk saga is ancient history, and they get back to what they were doing before. So the Death Triangle, yes. Problem is, Xander, sometimes when we say the Death Triangle on Wednesday nights, we still get people that say, who that? Who that? Believe it or not. So we already talked about the main event, Bryan Danielson beating Sammy Guevara in a really fun, excellent match. You know, I know we got a four-way at Full Gear for the Ring of Honor Championship, Jericho versus Claudio versus Bryan Danielson versus Sammy Guevara. It's going to be interesting to see the interaction with Sammy and Jericho. I'm almost thinking, could Sammy accidentally win the championship? I'm not saying that that's going to happen, because I know there's a lot of people who have different feelings as to why Jericho holds the Ring of Honor championship right now, but I don't know. I don't know if that's a fluke win, because I think they want to keep the heat on Sammy. And if Sammy beats Jericho, I'm curious to see how the crowd would react to that. So we'll see. We'll see. We still got 2 weeks. All right, so on Friday, like I said, we have three matches for this World Title Eliminator Tournament. We have Lee Moriarty versus Orange Cassidy for Rampage. And we also have Jack Perry calling out Luchasaurus Christian. We get a few other things as well. We had Jamie Hayter beating Sky Blue today. Very quick match. Jamie Hayter, I mean, probably the one woman that I think the fans want to see beat Toni Storm right now for that championship. I just don't feel that vibe that Jamie Hayter is going to break through and become women's champion. The only way I see that happening is if Thunder Rosa, that they're concerned that she's not going to be returning even in January. Now, I'm not saying that that's the case, but it's going to be really interesting to see how they handle Thunder Rosa over the next 30 days. Beyond Full Gear, but going into December. It's going to be really interesting to see. Plus, you got to remember, after Jamie Hayter is done with Toni Storm, who comes after Toni Storm next? Athena as a heel? It's possible. It's possible. I don't know how much fans would get into that. So, all right, let's talk briefly about NXT yesterday. Joe Gacy beat Cameron Grimes, and something very cool yesterday. I kind of alluded to it on Twitter. I alluded to it in a synopsis as well. You know, we saw a visual outfit change for Joe Gacy yesterday. Joe Gacy yesterday, wrestling without a shirt and wrestling in trunks. Now, up until now, he's been wearing the button-down shirt, the jeans, and yesterday he changed his look entirely. I appreciate everyone in the live chat right now asking, why is Joe Gacy, why did he wrestle without a shirt and with trunks yesterday? This is something that a lot of you may not know. I have this from firsthand comments. I don't want to say who it was, but you know, I don't know how much of this Joe Gacy has ever made public, but one thing that Joe Gacy has been very, very self-conscious about has been his weight. That doesn't look good. That looks a little better. It's been his weight. Joe Gacy has been very self-conscious about his weight. And Joe Gacy, over the last 6 months, has changed his diet. Not perfect, but trying to get himself in a little bit better shape. Not necessarily weight loss, but trying to convert some of that fat into muscle. And Joe Gacy has actually had, if you look at Joe Gacy from the beginning of the year and you look at him now, there is a decent difference, even in his face. Joe Gacy has gotten himself in a little bit better shape. I think, you know, especially with the pressure of, you know, being in the good graces of NXT. You don't want to get released. So Joe Gacy has really been working hard to get himself in a little bit better physical shape. Yesterday was something emotional for Joe Gacy as well, to be comfortable enough to go out there and perform not only with trunks, but without a shirt. So that is a little something that probably none of you knew. He has been really emotionally dealing with the weight. So props to Joe Gacy, man. Whether you like the new outfit or not, you know, that's up for debate for everyone. For me, it's a pretty cool story behind this. So Joe Gacy beats Cameron Grimes. We get a little interference from Ava Rain, who knocks Cameron Grimes off the top rope. Carmelo Hayes is back in the barbershop with Trick Williams, and they're throwing a lot of dirt, a lot of jabs to, as Trick Williams calls him, the transitional chump, Wesley. So they're going to have a match in 2 weeks. Next week on NXT, we're going to have a contract signing between the two. Scripts, we get another teaser. This time around, it was on the Titantron, the NXT Titantron, and throwing, you know, some very powerful words. You know, again, I know there's a lot of people trying to fantasize online who Scripps is. I think it's somebody coming up that has not been somebody from TV before. I don't think it's even going to be somebody who's been on the main roster. I think it's going to be somebody new that we're not used to seeing on TV. So, you know, I know a lot of people are trying to figure out who Scripps is. I don't even know. And it feels like it's going to be someone that we have not seen really on TV. Electra Lopez over Sal Ruca. After the match was over, Indy Hartwell tries to give a receipt to Electra Lopez after what happened last week. I was very surprised to see Sal Ruca lose yesterday, as uneventful as she did. She put on a great match, but Electra Lopez gets the win. I don't know, is any of you out there, do you get Nia Jax vibes with Electra Lopez? And when I say that, look at Nia Jax when she was in NXT. Don't look at Nia Jax from a WWE run. Look at her early years in NXT. Look at them side by side. For some reason, Electra Lopez gives me a little bit of Nia Jax vibes. That's not a negative thing, but just look at it and you'll see what I'm talking about. All right. Mandy Rose, this was a funny segment. She's FaceTiming with JC Jayne, and here comes Alba Fire. She shows up and starts wailing on JC Jayne. Mandy Rose, that's going to be you next week. So that was a fun segment. Sol Ruca absolutely is going to be a star. So Fly, she reminds me, you know, based on her size and yes, the blonde hair, she reminds me of Charlotte from NXT. When Charlotte was in NXT, when she first came in there, Sol Ruca reminds me of that look. I don't know. Am I saying she's going to be the next Charlotte Flair? Absolutely not. That is, I don't. You can't put that on anybody. Charlie Dempsey beats Andre Chase. Shades of what went down that time with Bob Backlund and Bret Hart from Survivor Series 94 when Bret Hart's mom was a Helen Hart when she threw the towel and she like hit the rope and I don't know. I don't think they were intentionally trying to mimic Helen Hart yesterday. But Andre Chase loses because Duke Hudson throws the towel in. Okay. A lot of people think Duke Hudson is going to turn on Andre Chase. I don't really care. To me, you know, Chase University without Bodie Hayward, there's a huge fucking void there. We got a dumb segment where Kiana James shows up at Fallon Henley's dive bar. She wants to buy it. If you watch her smile sometimes, she's got that same wrinkles in her nose like Stephanie. You ever see Stephanie when she smiles and she goes like this and you see, you know what I'm talking about. Look at her sometimes. She is almost like a spitting image of Stephanie from years ago. I'm telling you. Stax over Hank Walker. I'm not going to go any further there, but we had a conversation yesterday in a watch party about Stax and his NXT future. You know, keep your eye on Stax. I'm not going to say if it's a good future or a bad future. Keep your eye on Stax. Just keep your eye on Stax. We might see a little bit of a change in the next few months. if the stars aligned. I'm not going to say if it's a good thing or a bad thing. We had a Grayson Waller effect segment with Von Wagner, Bron Breakker, setting up their match next week. I really enjoyed Von Wagner in this. Von Wagner, you know, you're a second-generation wrestler. Well, I am too. And I didn't need, you know, my family to get the ear. I'm telling you, man, Von Wagner's growing on me. And what about Robert Stone, man? You have Bron and Von sitting in a tree. Yeah, Bron and Von standing in front of the table, and they're looking at each other, stare down, little jawjacking. Here's Robert Stone behind them by the table, and Robert Stone saying some stuff, and Bron Breakker just picks up his head and just drops him on the table, and Robert Stone sold it perfectly, and Grayson Waller is behind him with his face, that smile you just want to smack. That segment was so goddamn entertaining yesterday. Loved every minute of it. Jayden McDonough over Axiom, phenomenal match. We talked about it on Monday. We knew that they were going to tear it up. Match ended due to referee stoppage because they felt that Axiom could not continue issues with the knee. After the match was over, Jayden McDonough cuts a promo. You know, he's going to be fighting Apollo Crews next, I think, to determine the next number one contender for Bron Breakker's title, and Apollo Crews is supposed to be getting a title shot soon. Damon Kemp beats Brutus Creed by disqualification. It was a five-minute challenge, but Brutus, getting his revenge on Damon Kemp, chair bashes him repeatedly, and referee disqualifies Damon Kemp. Worked very well. Another promo from Dominik Dijakovic. Little backstage. Dissension. Indy Hartwell towards Roxanne Perez. Roxanne wants Indy, like, we're friends, we should be a team. And Indy's like, look, just leave me the fuck alone. Shit like this, this is not not all elite friends, but basically when Indy Hartwell is saying, like, you know, you don't do things because you're friends and this and that. So Indy Hartwell slowly, I think, turning heel. Main event, Katana Chance, Kayden Carter retaining NXT Women's Tag Team Championships over Nikita Lyons, Zoe Stark. As we all expected, Zoe Stark turned on Nikita Lyons after the match was over. Basically, towards the end of the match, there was some miscommunication. As we said the week before, even on Monday, there was going to be miscommunication. And Zoe Stark is about to eat a super kick. Nikita Lyons pushes her out of the way and takes it herself. So Nikita goes out of the ring, and Zoe Stark ends up eating a double super kicks, and then Katana Chance, Kayden Carter hit their finisher. So after the match is over, Zoe Stark, Nikita Lyons, they both grab the Women's Tag Team Championships, and sign of respect, they get to hand the titles to the champions. They won, fair and square. Nikita Lyons gives her belt to Kayden Carter. Zoe Stark, who's about to give her title to Katana Chance, instead wails Nikita Lyons in the head with it. The only part I didn't like about it is right after she got hit with the belt, Zoe Stark grabbed Nikita Lyons by the hair. And, you know, say what you want about Nikita Lyons, but she's kickboxing. She's a tough son of a bitch. Like, I wanted to see her face with this angry look, like, you just fucking made the biggest mistake of your life. Instead, Zoe Stark grabs Nikita Lyons by the hair. Nikita Lyons, she looks like she's crying. Like, come on, this is Nikita Lyons. That character is not supposed to be crying. You're supposed to be like, yo, bitch, you just fucked yourself up. I'm going to fucking kill you. That's not what Nikita Lyons should look like. But the only thing I didn't like about that yesterday. So next week, we have a stacked NXT lineup. Bron Breakker versus Von Wagner for the NXT Championship. Mandy Rose versus Alba Fire, Falls Count Anywhere, for the Women's Championship. Cora Jade versus Wendy Chu. I don't think we're going to get Apollo versus Jayden McDonough next week, but it's possible. But I think that's way too loaded of a card. And we have the contract signing next week. Now, Shawn Michaels is also supposed to make an announcement next week for Deadline. Their next Premium Live event is going to be happening in December. So, you know, some buzz is that it'll be announced that it's going to be taking place somewhere outside of the Performance Center. I don't know how the people in the building will react to that next week, so I expect it to be a bigger announcement than that, but we will know next week. Now, ratings from Tuesday. Last week, NXT did 671. Sure, the majority of people were focusing on elections here in the United States. I definitely believe some people were watching elections instead of NXT yesterday. I don't think it's big numbers, but NXT held its ground. Last week they did 671. This week they did 664. Only dropped 7,000 viewers. Not bad. Not bad. NXT averaging in the upper sixes. Now, again, that's 2020 levels. You get to 700,000 viewers on average, you're at 2019 levels. Look at the rosters back then. Look at them now. I think NXT is doing a pretty good job right now. Pretty good job. Okay. So, with that said, I didn't put my notes in here. It's okay. I don't need them. Let's wrap up talking about Nick Aldis, NWA, Billy Corgan. And look, this is a big deal because Nick Aldis is going to be signing somewhere. So the big question is, could Nick Aldis end up in WWE? How would he do in WWE? Could this give a 1991 vibe when Ric Flair showed up with the NWA World Championship? No, not even close. But Nick Aldis showing up in a suit, you almost feel like he's got to show up with some type of a championship. You almost feel like if Nick Aldis were to show up in WWE, he has to have somebody's championship, something. Man, I wonder what Billy Corgan would do even if he had a replica NWA title. Like, doesn't it feel like because every picture of Nick Aldis, even look at my thumbnail, like every picture of Nick Aldis always seems to have a championship belt with him, that if he was to show up, you know the suit's got, would it feel more like Nick Bockwinkel? Maybe it would feel more like Nick Bockwinkel. But guys, gals, every time I tried so hard to get the high-definition version of this photo to the point that I was going to rent the movie online just to take a screenshot, and I wanted to superimpose Billy Corgan's face on here and just put in text. You see my choice of words here? Empowered to leave? Yeah, Nick Aldis, part of the reason why he left is because of the disrespect they showed Mickie James, his wife, which we will get into in a moment. But that was not my choice for tonight's thumbnail. Empowered to Leave is what I went with. Originally, it was supposed to be, "Oh, Billy! Oh, Billy!" I wanted to Photoshop Billy Corgan's face on Jim Carrey complete with the breast. "Oh, Billy. Oh, Billy, what the fuck is wrong with you? Oh, Billy." He done did it, man. August 25th. Check out that episode I did. Check out the episode I did a year ago. No, I'm not going to play clips of previous episodes tonight. If you remember last year, I did a whole discussion saying that as much as we appreciate women's wrestling and the hard work that a lot of women's wrestlers do, when it comes to promoters, when it comes to their bottom line, you know, you could play with smoke and mirrors only so much. And I said over a year ago, there was no way that Billy Corgan was going to have a second NWA in power. We talked about it about 6 weeks ago that, you know, why are we not getting in power too? Even if you don't, remember when I said, you know, don't even contact Tony Khan this time around. You know, hey, last year you threw it in our face that you paid for the women. Good. We don't need your women today. You want them to work? Good. We don't need them. What is the big deal about having one event once a year featuring nothing but women? Does that hurt the bottom line for NWA so much? No. No. You think it puts them in bankruptcy by having one time a year? You know, here's the facts, though. It's not just the fact that the buy rate was so low. It's the fact that if you make this an annual tradition, and some of what I'm saying I've said before, but if you make this an annual tradition within NWA, what happens the other 11 and a half months? 11 months. What happens during that time? During those 11 months, if you don't maintain a certain caliber of women's wrestling on that product, people are going to complain. And NWA, at heart, is very similar to what Ring of Honor was. Nobody ever would call out Ring of Honor for their lack of a women's division. They tried to build one, you know, a couple of years ago because they were trying to get any type of attention whatsoever. Well, maybe if we focus more on the women, maybe we'll get more women that'll show up and maybe we'll get this. The fact is that for these promoters, for them, outside of WWE, women's wrestling does not sell the same as men's wrestling. And that's not sexist. That's business. You know, for 3.5 years, AEW has been on TV. Why, for 3.5 years, do we only get 3 to 6 minutes of women's wrestling on a 2-hour show? Why do we only get 3 minutes of women's wrestling on a 1-hour show Friday nights? Why is it not more even? Why do the women, unless they have thumbtacks, unless they're bleeding like crazy, unless they're using tables, chairs, weapons, that they could put it on shirts, how come they never main event? They never close things out. They never ever get the vote. They never open up. Because Tony Khan, at the end of the day, says, you know, women's wrestling does not sell like the men's wrestling, so why am I going to waste my time on it? I know that is hard words to say, but that's the mantra of Billy Corgan all this time. And I said a year ago that the smoke and mirrors that Billy Corgan is portraying, that, oh, we're going to give women this opportunity. This, do you remember last year when Mickie James said, you know, for all the women out there, send us your tapes, send us here. We want to hear from all. We want to bring everybody aboard. Mickie James was 1,000% sincere when she said that, because she honestly thought, wow, NWA is going to almost be a little bit of old school TNA Impact, NWA TNA. Maybe we get a women's division. Who's going to be the next Awesome Kong? Who's going to be the next Gail Kim? Who's going to be the next Mickie James? Who's going to be the next? And Mickie James thought that, hey, you know, NWA is going to be different than what AEW is, different than what Ring of Honor was, different than what MLW is, maybe not on the level of WWE, but they're going to be bigger than Impact Wrestling, and they're going to really give a decent amount of time to women. So everybody step up. And then what started happening is that Mickie James did not get the amount of power and time that she thought she was getting. You know, if you go back to the early days when she first made the announcements, you thought that Mickie James was leading this whole deal. And she was the decision maker. Of course, Billy Corgan has the final say, but she was going to have a lot of power, and that never came. And you had a lot of women, and I remember it last year, you had a lot of women on social media like, look, I sent my tape. I sent it to you. I didn't get a response. I didn't get this. You had a lot of women that felt crushed because of it. Because the idea of Empower was not to celebrate just the women who have made it, you know, in some degree as far as promotions and TV, but also to showcase some women that can't get an opportunity, that can't break through, that can't get this. And that never really happened. So Nick Aldis, he is the husband of Mickie James. And he's seeing this in real time, that, you know, what was promised is not happening. And not only that, a little bit of disrespect shown towards Mickie James. And Mickie James is very vocal. She does podcasts. She's on a lot of shows. And she will tell you how she's feeling. And, you know, Billy Corgan, smoke and mirrors from last year, given this perception that it was going to be different, that it was, I think a lot of you out there deep down inside felt like, because of COVID, and I know this sounds awful, But hey, I said it a year ago, I'll say it again now. Because of COVID, the promotion that got hurt the worst was NWA. Impact Wrestling tried to do shows without fans. MLW doesn't have that much of an overhead, so MLW is not. Ring of Honor was just, you know, they were done even before COVID. But NWA suffered the most. And NWA, unfortunately, they lost Thunder Rosa. They lost Ricky Starks. They lost Zicky Dice. They lost a lot of people. They lost Wade Barrett. They lost a lot of people that were the reasons why I watched NWA. That were the reason why a lot of others watched NWA. Nothing against Trevor Murdoch, but sorry, I never was interested in watching Trevor Murdoch as that champion. Even though he works his ass off, a little retro, old school, kind of feels like Dusty Rhodes meets Dick Murdoch, you know, but just never sold on me. So it felt like because NWA got hurt so much with COVID that, okay, doing this women's, this will get us tons of attention. This will be history. This will be some, we're going to set the stage and we're going to make a difference and this and that. And that kind of gets NWA's name back on the radar. And the problem is the pay-per-view buys were nowhere near what NWA thought it was going to be. The expense involved, even though Tony Khan and some others picked up the tab for some people, the expense wasn't worth it. And then understand, this is probably the most important thing here, understand that once Empower is over, now you got 11 months of Mickie James heading up this women's division and trying to make it bigger, better, badder, you know, and producing. And meanwhile, you got Billy Corgan that was never interested in taking time away from the guys that are committed, which aren't many, and giving it to women. And Trevor Murdoch echoes a lot of Billy Corgan's views. So that pisses off Mickie James. That hurts her, obviously. It pisses off Nick Aldis. And then Nick Aldis sees a lot of different directions with creative. Tyrus, I'm a fan of. I met Tyrus. Tyrus, very, very cool guy. I know there's a lot of people shitting on the fact that Tyrus gets the attention he gets in NWA right now. A lot of people think it's because of his presence on Fox News. You know, I think NWA right now is trying to get any attention whatsoever. But doing Empower 2 was not going to work because now you have to reintroduce everything again. And then you look at the last 12 months and you say to yourself, what the fuck is they been? What have they been doing the last 12 months? Does it feel like the women have advanced at all? It feels like a payday and almost like a grab from Billy Corgan. Then what happens after Empower 2 comes and goes? So what happens? You get Billy Corgan talking about how, you know, it's got to be the certain caliber of women and they don't work the NWA style and this and that. I'm like, we see right through that. Just come out and say it. We don't think the women's division, it helps NWA in any way. These guys are fucking petrified to say that because they know the backlash that'll happen on social media. So it is a perfect storm. Nick Aldis, not thrilled with the way he's been used, not thrilled with what's been going down towards his wife and other stuff. So Nick Aldis decides, I'm giving my notice. As of January 1st, I am done with NWA. Nick Aldis is probably the number one guy in that company, even if he is not their champion right now. He is their number one guy. The guy always showed himself with professionalism. The guy always showed class. The guy always, when you saw him wear that championship, you felt like he really gave a shit, that he wanted nothing but respect for that title, and he didn't wear it as a trinket. He wore it for pride. So now Nick Aldis, he gives his notice. Nick Aldis now, behind the scenes, talks to Fightful, talks to a few other places out there, and he doesn't hold back. He says, I have a problem with this. I have a problem with this. I have a problem with this. So it gets back to Billy Corgan. So now Nick Aldis was going to fulfill all of his commitments for NWA throughout the end of the year. He was supposed to perform on upcoming events. And Billy Corgan says, you know what? That's okay. Look, I don't want to compare it to podcast stuff, but a lot of people remember earlier this year, somebody that I was doing a show with announced live on the air that he was no longer going to, you know, be on the shows he was given notice. And my immediate reaction was, okay, you don't want to be part of the show? You don't have to fulfill any. No, that's it. You're done. You're gone. It's over. So Billy Corgan pretty much did the same stupid thing that I did. Jumped the gun. Listen, you don't want to be here? No problem. You don't have to be here anymore. Go away. Go away. You're suspended. So Billy Corgan announces his suspension. Nick Aldis is suspended. Then the weirdness comes in. Very weird stuff. Billy Corgan. Oh, Billy! Billy Corgan goes on Busted Open. And I have a screenshot of a tweet that I'm going to show you in a few minutes. If you've been paying attention to what I've been saying about Busted Open, and look, this is not a let shit on Busted Open deal. I like Busted Open. I'm very entertained when I tune into the shows. But you could see, obviously, that if you're going to get the appearances and repeat appearances by people, you got to kind of like play footsie. And they did that with Billy Corgan because they know it's going to generate a lot of attention. Attention first, hard-nosed questions, nah. And Nick Aldis took note of that. So anyway, Billy Corgan goes on Busted Open and he starts talking about Nick Aldis and everything that went down. And before I start reading you some of these quotes, Billy Corgan thinks this is a storyline. Billy Corgan thinks that Nick Aldis is creating a storyline here. Mr. Corgan, this is not a fucking storyline. I don't know what this guy is smoking right now. And I like Billy Corgan. I mean, look, for years I've been praising that guy, but we'll call it out when I see it. So anyway, here are some of the quotes that Billy Corgan said on Busted Open. And Johnny, thank you very much for sending me this, you know, little transcript. Billy Corgan says, quote, "Why is he working an angle when he's leaving? Why is he using the NWA's good name or my good name to get himself over in a way that is not necessary? If he's everything he thinks he is, go in a free market like any free agent and test your mettle. He's working something." This guy thinks it's an angle. Quote, "I don't know what he's working, but if he's willing to sacrifice me and the NWA to prove something or get something going or get out early to do something because someone has given him an Iggy, hey, if you could get out early, this is not cool. He's a paid talent and he's under contract." All right. Now the shitstorm starts coming towards Nick Aldis. Quote, "I used to tell Nick in the early days of the NWA, if Vince calls you tomorrow and wants you, I'll release you out of your contract. Why is a guy like that, me, who is willing to let the guy chase bigger opportunities, why does this guy have to go and burn down the company 50-something days out when he could just leave in 50 days? It's not what he said. I've heard it all. Criticism of the company is valid. It's okay. Why is a key talent who is supposed to be a locker room leader doing this on the way out, basically setting the pay-per-view in a weird cloud? Then when we say he's not going to be on the pay-per-view, he tweets, 'I was prepared, fans, sorry. I was prepared to perform.' Quote, 'Don't watch the product, it's terrible. But I was going to be there.' That's not a clear message. That's someone who is working something that I can't see." This is bizarro land. As this is going on, Nick Aldis is listening or watching Busted Open. I tell you, it would have been an epic moment if Nick Aldis could have called in and they would have had a confrontation right then and there. But it didn't happen. But as this is going on, Nick Aldis puts this tweet up that I got to share with you. Somebody was posting a recap of what Billy Corgan was saying. And somebody on Twitter by the name of SportsFan74 writes, "Billy has made multiple references here to Nick Aldis going scorched earth on the NWA. Maybe I don't follow close enough, but I haven't seen or read anything like that prior to them pulling him from events. I wish a follow-up question would be asked of Billy to cite examples." So Nick Aldis writes, they never asked the follow-up. Also, no coincidence that he goes on when Bubba Ray is on. Yeah, other people notice, they never ask the follow-up questions. Get the interview. We'll jerk you off. We'll play footsie. We'll put a pillow under your ass. We'll even massage your hemorrhoids if we have to, as long as we get the interview. It's about business and ratings. And to me, you know, that's a little sad to see. But here's the thing. Here's the thing I want everybody to understand. Remember what I said earlier. Nick Aldis was talking to Fightful in other places. He was not making it public. He was talking to people behind the scenes, people that he knows, and was voicing some of the reasons why he was so frustrated. He never made it publicly. And, of course, Busted Open doesn't say, well, Billy, I haven't seen Nick Aldis write anything. What are some examples that he's done publicly? Go buy my latest CD. You know, they didn't do that. So, just to finish up, Billy Corgan says, if Nick is smarter than me, I can't figure it out. It's some sort of Vince Russo stuff. It's beyond me. Pack your bags, finish your contract out, go say what you want to say. Then it's not within the bounds of the company. It's two men talking. If he wants to talk openly, wants to go on and blast me somewhere, okay. Then I could go on the same podcast and blast him, but we're not fighting over the company. He's in the company. He's a paid talent. So what am I supposed to do? You're basically creating a scenario where every time somebody wants out, they're going to follow the Nick Aldis plan. I was hopeful that wherever he's after, if we entered into some conversation of, you want to get out early? What's this about? Once he brought Mickey into the whole thing and other private business involving Empower and all people, and people are all animated. Come on, man. Nick is a smart dude. He's intimately aware of how my world and business works. Remember what I said a year ago. That's the line. Billy Corgan is basically telling the world what he's afraid to say point blank and a lot of other promoters. Women's wrestling does not draw or sell. That's why women of wrestling, it's a little different. Their ratings have been good. But as we pointed out to a lot of you out there, when you see ratings for women of wrestling online, remember, they're adding several airings, putting the ratings together. That's not, hey, from 8 to 9 p.m., they drew 500,000 viewers or 350,000 viewers. No, they're combining shit. That's why you never see a Nielsen. You never see, why is Rampage shown when they only get 400-something thousand viewers? But you're telling me that, or even Impact Wrestling. Impact Wrestling sometimes barely makes the top 150. Women of Wrestling is doing 2-3 times the ratings that Impact does. Well, how come you never see any Nielsen stats with it? Because they're just adding stuff together. So anyway, just to finish up what Billy Corgan said. Once he brought Mickey into the whole thing and other private business involving Empower and people are all animated, come on, man, Nick is a smart dude. He's intimately aware of how my world and business works. He's been in my world. Not many people are in my world. He's a smart dude. He understands by pushing some of these buttons, it's going to get the juice going. Nothing is more dumb than trying to spin a guy in me who ran an all-women's pay-per-view, which was a huge success. I built it around Mickie James as a talent, and personally, I endorsed the whole thing. I let her build the card. I lost money doing it. Wait a minute. He just said it was a huge success. Then he says, I lost money in doing it, but now I'm against women's wrestling? This is silly. The conversations with Mickey were about running a subsequent Empower. I said, if it's not going to be a good show or better, we probably shouldn't do it right now. If people remember what I said, and they obviously don't, there isn't enough top talent available on the market right now. Tony Khan has signed a tremendous amount of top female talent. I'm not in a working relationship with AEW. I can't just pick up the phone and say, hey, could you send me some people? Part of that was Tony trying to take credit for what Mickey had accomplished. Off topic, shouldn't Mickey James be the one that talks about that, not him? So he says, this is about empowerment, which to me is about people who have not had an opportunity to speak at the grand stage before. Empower isn't just all about females. It's giving different people with different voices an opportunity. That was part of the discussion with Mickey. It doesn't have to be built around you. There are other ways to do this. We didn't agree on the business part of it. We tabled it and wanted to do it at a later date. If she took it wrong, I apologize. And then he says people are throwing logs on the fire to create smoke to divert from the fact that they are onto something or on about something. It seems obvious they're after something. She doesn't work for me. He does. They want to get out early. Just say you want to get out. It's just this weird thing of I have to be babyface and bury the company. It's bad conspiracy stuff. And then here's the final part. I was warned about this Nick Aldis before I signed Nick Aldis. As long as I gave Nick Aldis what he wanted, he was cheesecake and flowers. Now I'm meeting the Nick Aldis that I was warned about, that people in other companies warned me about when I signed him. None of this needed to be public. Why could have all these intense feelings and still be thinking what we're thinking? But why is this in public? That's my argument. Nick picked this fight. Now we're in wrestling land. What are we talking about? A talent running a non-wrestling angle. I don't need to say anymore. Like I said, Nick Aldis voiced his dissension and frustration privately. Look at the timeline, everyone. People don't ever take the time to look at timestamps and look at what was said and what was not said. Who went on Busted Open? Nick Aldis or did Billy Corgan? Billy Corgan tried to push a narrative there. And like I said earlier, Billy Corgan gets to say what he wants. You don't get Busted Open to ask the follow-up questions. Remember what I said about the Tony Khan stuff a couple of weeks ago? When Tony Khan buried Eric Bischoff a couple of weeks ago about how, you know, matches don't get storyline build and stuff like that, we noticed that that is like the third or fourth time Tony Khan has said the very same thing on Busted Open. Busted Open knows that this has been brought up before, but they ask it in a different way to make it seem like it's different because they know it's going to trigger an interesting response from Tony Khan, then all the news outlets report it, and then it looks like Busted Open has got the story again. And that's what happened with Billy Corgan here. NWA is dying a slow death. I think everybody agrees with that. They are dying a slow death. NWA is this big right now. And to turn around and say we don't have enough top-quality women to put on a one-time show, look at women of fucking wrestling. Even though the ratings are combined, that goes to show you that you don't have to have, you know, these, you know, people who have established. There's enough women out there to do this. But the problem is this guy has been caught with his pants down and he's losing probably the person who represented that company the best in the last 5+ years. You look at NWA over the last 5 years. Nick Aldis probably represented that company the best that anyone else can. Who is going to be that representation going forward? They don't have anybody. They don't have anybody. And now the question is, where does Nick Aldis go? I hope to God he does not go to AEW. Nick Aldis will get lost in the shuffle. You just like, you know, 2-3 weeks will go by and Mike Bennett and Maria Kanellis will suddenly disappear to YouTube. If Nick Aldis shows up, I don't see that going anywhere. Personally, I think Nick Aldis should go to WWE. I think Mickey James, even though she's doing this retirement thing with Impact Wrestling, put Mickey James in the Hall of Fame next year. Putting Mickey James in the WWE Hall of Fame next year, even if she doesn't have a retirement match in WWE, if she made some agreement with Impact Wrestling, you know, Hall of Fame is fine. He could always go to Japan. I see some people writing Japan. The problem is it's not going to get the attention and publicity. You do that for a tour. You know, I don't think Nick Aldis should just go to Japan and stay there for 6 months to a year. The question is, where does he show up? He could show up on Impact Wrestling, but is that going to really make a difference? Even if Impact hyped up, Nick Aldis talks about everything that happened in NWA, I don't think that'll draw ratings. I could see Nick Aldis showing up on WWE television, wearing the suit, talking about where he came from, who he is. I could see him going at it with AJ Styles. I could see him going at it with a lot of talent on that main roster. He presents himself almost like this Nick Bockwinkle. Now, look, when Nick Bockwinkle showed up in WWF and then was doing, like, you know, the figurehead stuff, you know, I just never felt like it fit. I liked Nick Bockwinkle in the AWA. The problem is, by the time he went to WWF, he was too old. People need to remember, I don't even think Nick Aldis is 40 years old yet. You know, people should realize that. Nick Aldis, I don't know how old he is. Could someone check? I think he's like 37. So Nick Aldis has many years left. This is not a 45/50-year-old man coming in that is at the end of his career, that is trying to resurrect it and go to an area that he hasn't been before. KFab says Nick Aldis is 36. You mean to tell me that Nick Aldis versus, and you could probably come up with about 10 to 15 names on WWE television, you mean to tell me that's not money? Especially with Triple H now focusing more about the in-ring content and not as much about the goof. I could see Nick Aldis absolutely going to WWE, and I could see Mickie James going into WWE Hall of Fame. If she has a final match in WWE, that is obviously between what happens with her and Impact Wrestling. I don't think he should go to NXT. If this was the NXT that still had Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly and some of the older, more established wrestlers that can go, yes, I could see it. Do I want to see him show up in a suit confronting Bron Breakker and saying, look, I'm here to take that championship? I don't want to see that. Because even if Nick Aldis dethrones Bron Breakker, who does he feud with next? Apollo Crews? JD McDonough would be great, but it just feels too lopsided. It feels way too lopsided. I think Nick Aldis on WWE television, would it? And look, Cody Rhodes. Think about the match that he had with Cody Rhodes. Look at him with Seth Rollins. Look at him with Finn Balor. You could go down the goddamn list. There are so many people that he could face in WWE, and it would work. The thing is, can Nick Aldis click with the WWE Universe? That is probably one of the most important things here. Because if he cuts promos and the crowd remains quiet and happens week after week after week, that is a disaster. That's why I bring up Nick Aldis and I compare it to Ric Flair in 1991. Not necessarily the title. What happened when Ric Flair showed up on WWF television in 1991? What, outside of him bringing in the championship that they had to blur out and everything, what's the first thing that you remember probably the most about Ric Flair when he came in? He confronted Roddy Piper. And they immediately started feuding. Roddy Piper and Ric Flair had a long history outside of WWF. And when Ric Flair came in 1991 and went right after Ric Flair, hey, I'm talking to you. It was gold right from the beginning. And Ric Flair, obviously tremendous on the mic, one of the greatest of all time. In 1991, there was no social media. There was no YouTube. There was no streaming media. It was wrestling magazines, tape trading, and if you got TBS, you know, that's really what it was with Ric Flair. I live in New York. That's how we would get it. So it was a lot of fantasy. So I could picture Nick Aldis coming in and confronting Cody Rhodes or confronted Seth Rollins. And look, Nick Aldis could talk. Nick Aldis could wrestle, and Nick Aldis personifies class. So there's obviously that level that would come in. You know it's this presence. You know that somebody established is in the room. I don't think the WWE Universe has spent much time invested in Nick Aldis, but they would get to know him very quickly. I think him in WWE would be phenomenal. So we will see what happens. All right, everyone. I'd love to know what you think about this. Now, since we're going to finish this show, post it in the comment section. Let me know, you know, how you feel about Nick Aldis coming in. Two more things before we get out of here. R-Truth, last week, Grayson Waller. You know, we talked about it. He was in the ring, tried to lift off to do a dive onto Grayson Waller. Something happened. We were worried that he blew out his knee. Well, it ended up that he tore his quad muscle. So R-Truth underwent surgery today for his torn quad. He posted this on social media because he wanted to send this message to each and every one of you out there who were thinking about our truth.
Hey, 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 what's up? Hey, y'all, first off, I want to thank each and every one of y'all for y'all concerns, y'all get wells, y'all prayers, y'all support. Yes, unfortunately, Suntan Superman, yeah, I got hurt. I got hit with that kryptonite. I did tear my quad tendon, and I'm at surgery now as we speak. Right there, I'll be going in, so, yeah. It is what it is, right? Yeah, I know I'll be back. I want to thank you. Without you, ain't no me. So let me go ahead and handle this business, and I'll be back before y'all know. All right? Peace.
We send our truth best wishes, man. There's another guy. No five-star matches. You know, was NWA champion. Very cool moment back then. But, you know, that should be a perfect example for Jay Cargill. You don't have to have five-star matches to be beloved and appreciated. And, you know, we hope he could get past this because our truth is getting up there in age. Sometimes, Father Time, you know, you just can't control, you know, when your body starts to age. I want to give a very special thank you to Liam Savage. He sent the 20 spot a few moments ago. Yeah, I know. Makes me feel good. DT is the most real podcaster. He helped me out with some stuff last week. Went out of his way to do it. Not trying to kiss my ass, but it meant a ton. Lunch is on me tomorrow. Keep up the great work, my friend. You're very appreciated. As I say to each and every one of you out there, you know, if I can help in any way, shape, or form, you know, you can always reach out to me. Understand that I don't get on the level of pro wrestlers on TV, but I do get a lot of messages. And sometimes it takes a little while for me to get back. But I always try to help people where I can behind the scenes, whether it's, you know, just talking a little bit or advice. You know, unfortunately, sometimes it gets a little bit sticky because, you know, you show attention to someone and then it has to be a weekly thing or, you know, there's a problem here. I mean, you'd be surprised what just simple offering, you know, like, turns into for some people. So I try wherever I can, but I really appreciate you did not have to do that. But I'm glad I was able to help last week, and you know what I'm talking about. So, all right, everyone. I hope everybody has a wonderful night. I hope everybody has a wonderful rest of the week. I will be back on Saturday morning at 11:05 a.m. for the Don Tony Show. We will definitely talk about what transpires for the remainder of the week in pro wrestling. I have a couple of stories that we're going to get into that I didn't bring up today because we spend, you know, Wednesdays mostly everything except Raw and SmackDown. So we have a few big deals to get into this weekend. I'm very curious to see what AEW's rating is today. I thought the main event was great. I thought the show kind of lacked at times, but as far as a build for Full Gear, I think they definitely knocked it out of the park. Saraya and Britt Baker did a great job as well. We'll see what happens with the numbers. Rampage last week, you know, just blows me away. I think they did, what, 455? Think about what aired on Rampage last week, and it only did 455. That just shows you the damage that has been caused because of the Ring of Honor influence. You know, it feels like AEW goes on the back burner too much in favor of Ring of Honor. And, you know, there's a reason why, like I said, when I brought up Invasion last week, there's a reason why in 2001, when we had WCW and ECW invading WWE, you know, in the end, WWE prevails and ECW and WCW just kind of goes away and becomes a part of WWE. This feels just like random stuff. You know what it feels like? Here's the difference between 01 and now. In 2001, it felt like WWE, the ratings that they were getting, they were trying to make as much money as they can, trying to get the biggest ratings they can, try to sell the most tickets they can, and try to be, you know, the only company in town. When we see what we watch on AEW television, we feel like it's out there because Tony Khan likes it. And Tony Khan wants it. And this is his bucket list. This is his fantasy match. This is what he always wanted. And I think when fans start to feel like, hey, man, you know, why aren't we getting this? People aren't stupid. FTR is going to close out 2022 not even having 10 matches under the AEW banner. They had AAA matches, New Japan matches, Ring of Honor matches, but you look at AEW matches, less than 10. Less than 10. That's very glaring. So, all right, everyone, post your comments in the comments section. On the way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, smash that thumbs up. I appreciate it. And I will definitely see you all again Saturday, 11:05 a.m. So much love as always, and I'll talk to you all soon. Be well.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for
you. I didn't mention 25th anniversary of Survivor Series because on Wednesdays we talk everything but Raw, SmackDown, WWE. That will be talked about on Saturday. Just saying.
Your life. And now? Now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody. While they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.
Sam, you didn't piss me off. I ain't mad. But, we're going to talk about Survivor Series Saturday. Definitely. Definitely on my radar. Definitely want to flash back 1997. That was surreal when it went down. I know you can't see me right now, but I'm naked, so I can't put the camera back on. You get to see my tit, though.